staple of the superhero mythology is there's the superhero and there's the alter ego. Batman is actually Bruce Wayne. Spider-Man is actually Peter Parker. When that character wakes up in the morning, he's Peter Parker. He has to put on a costume to become Spider-Man. And it is in that characteristic Superman stands alone. Superman didn't become Superman. Superman was born Superman. When Superman wakes up in the morning, he's Superman. His alter ego is Clark Kent. His outfit with the big red S, that's the blanket he was wrapped in as a baby when the Kents found him. Those are his clothes. What Kent wears, the glasses, the business suit, that's the costume. That's the costume Superman wears to blend in with us. Clark Kent is how Superman views us. And what are the characteristics of Clark Kent? He's weak. He's unsure of himself. He's a coward. Clark Kent is Superman's critique on the whole human race.
Welcome to Jim's Movies and Junk. I'm Notorious J.M.
And I'm Julian.
And we have a special guest.
Hello, I'm Megan.
And Megan would be subbing in when one of us is missing. So we actually have a new sort of co-host that everyone get used to her. All right, the movie we're reviewing today is Man of Steel. We actually recently seen that, and it blew my mind away.
Actually, not all of us have seen this. I still have not, because I have a life that doesn't involve movies and comic books.
And junk.
And things like that. And now that everyone knows I'm a goddamn liar.
Well, to start off, let me ask you, your experience with Superman, Julian?
I would say, like, my earliest memories of Superman are probably from, like, picking up a Justice League comic book. Because I'm cheap, I figured I can get all the heroes in one book.
That was a way of doing it, too, is get all the heroes in one book for one price.
Yeah.
Same thing with Avengers.
Back when they drew the line at $1.99 before they drew the line at $3.99.
Yeah.
And totally screwed over my bank account.
Yeah.
But it was like, hey, the Superman, he's in the book, and this is going to be fun, and I sort of gravitated towards other characters as time went on.
Yeah. Green Lantern?
Yeah. But, I don't know, I've always liked Superman, but I can never read his books. His best stories to me were always Elseworlds, where he could do God knows fucking what, be a communist.
Or if he could lose powers, he could just be a normal person, have to adapt to that. Or some of his best work was in the 90s, I think, personally. Some of his best works in the 90s.
Was that during, like, the Burn era?
Yeah, it was during the time in which he lost... Well, he didn't lose his powers, but he came back from dying. And he had to deal with the fact no one believed he was the real actual Superman because there were so many people claiming to be Superman at the time.
He had to hit people with the Outsider's Edge to get them to remember.
He had the Sky High curl and the beard and all that. Yeah. What about you, Megan?
I did not read any of his comic books. I only know about him from pop culture, so I'm not as in-depth with Superman's history as you guys are.
But what about what you know of him through pop culture?
Christopher Reeve pretty much was Superman, and then he died.
Oh, man, that's a downer.
R.I.P. Chris Reeves.
Man. Well.
How could you?
Well, my experience was with Christopher Reeve, which you just mentioned, died. But it was me being a kid. Of course, I was introduced to the movies first before I actually started reading the comic books. And the movie just feels different from the comic books. It was a lot of the same awe, he could fly and all this stuff. But at the same time, the comic book, he dealt with more characters that could actually be a threat to him. He dealt with Brainiac. Of course, Lex was different than a bumbling idiot.
He wasn't a man after land.
Yeah, but it did deal with him being powerful. And when I started reading the comic books, I found that as a dilemma because, you know, he's like a god. So what can you make him do after all this time? That's interesting.
I would say that's a problem with DC in general. God among men.
Yeah.
Whereas Marvel is like guys who just happen to be great.
Yeah, just regular dudes. All right, let me get into Man of Steel. We're just going to do a quick review on it. And the best part about this show is I've seen it. I'm a big Superman fan, and Megan's seen it, and she knows of him through pop culture. So a lot of things that were introduced to her about Superman was introduced to her through this movie. So she gets a fresh look at it, whereas I'm like, well, I know this already, so who gives a shit? Let's get to the action.
And I guess I'm somebody who's just so-so with Superman, so...
Yeah.
And I haven't seen it, so... I'll be here for Counterpoint... Counter-Strike!
Alright, Mick, let me get your opinion on it, considering the fact that you haven't really had that much experience with Superman.
I liked the movie. I didn't think it was, like, a perfect movie, and there was parts that I thought could have been better, but I thought it was good. I would give it probably, like, an A.
A? Or we're going by 4 out of 5.
A 4.
I mean, 5 out of 5. 1 out of 5.
Objection.
1 to 5.
Leading the witness.
Then I would give it a 4.5.
4.5?
Yeah.
Okay, I can see that. My thing with it is, as a big Superman fan, some of the things you didn't like, I understand, and I have to account for that. Of course, for me, it would be a solid 5, just being a Superman fan, but it's not about me. It's about other people who haven't had that experience with Superman, so let's get my review. Just to get my score out the way, I'll give it a 4. I thought about giving it a 4.5, and it should have a 4.5. I really want to give it a 5. But I have to give it a 4 simply because they didn't develop certain characters, which I don't give a shit about personally. But other people would actually want to see how they got to that point. One of the issues I had with the movie was the fact that Lois Lane and Superman's relationship didn't really develop over time. It was just kind of just, you know, like, now let's kiss, basically what happened.
Who was it that you said would direct by going, now kiss?
Who was it? George Lucas?
Yeah.
You're in love now kiss. It's like, what? There's no lead up to this. Basically, that's what happened.
Because I'm so in love with you.
I think that their love story developed basically through no words, and basically every time he'd save her or save someone, they would, like, embrace and hold each other and look into each other's eyes, and then he would leave or some random thing would happen.
Like, the world needs me.
And so that was, like, their courting.
I think it's more like...
Gazing was their courting.
I think it was more like, well, she was thinking, well, this guy has saved me so many times, so I might as well bring him out some pussy.
I guess that's a yes.
There's no other way around it, I guess. It's just like, I might as well bring him out some pussy, get some super dick in this.
Wow.
Well, yeah. Get some super dick.
But see, here's the thing.
Find out if he's really faster than a speeding bullet.
Which would not be a good thing.
But we know Lois and Superman are going to get together.
Yeah.
That's, so, do they have to get together at all in this movie?
That's how I felt like. I would have totally been fine with her just finding out who he was, which happens. You know, she basically finds out who he is, and she kind of discovers him. He uses her as a way to get his message out there that, you know, hey, I'm here in this world, and I'm going to do this good and all that. And I would have been fine with them just becoming friends.
Okay.
And, well, like, the next movie, maybe, you know, see a progressive relationship. Because, you know, I just take it as... He's basically a god. Who's not going to want to jump on that?
He's basically Jesus.
Yeah. So Jesus is showing up in town. You know, all the bitches going to go crazy about that.
Even Mary Magdalene wanted to break him off some.
Yeah. So
it's not that unheard of.
Oh, we have a Christian here. So.
Oh, shit.
So.
They're the Christian. Oh, shit. Yeah.
That's a different dynamic for this show. It's usually us heathens doing whatever we want.
Godless sodomites.
Yeah. But yeah, so I can see the ideal of her finally loving him, but at the same time, it's like, you know, we really didn't need that.
I thought it was unnecessary. I felt that it really didn't add anything because the story wasn't about their courtship and them getting together. It's more about him discovering who he is and going forward from that. So we're just kind of like, oh, we have to have sex in there because this is America and they can't watch a film without sex in it, so...
Yeah.
But America doesn't like sex. They like violence.
Oh, they love sex.
And there's sex in the violence at times.
That's another movie.
Yeah.
Actually, that guy's English, so...
Yeah, oh, he is British, so yeah, that doesn't count. But anyway,
I don't know. It sounds like maybe they shouldn't have had it at all, because we know they're going to get together.
Yeah.
So... They could have saved that for another movie?
That's how I feel, because it does feel like he never grabs her or holds her, like, intimately. It's always, I got you, you're falling out of this fucking whatever you're falling out of. I'm going to save you. And then it's like, at the end, he's like, give me some sugar, just grabs her and kisses her.
Well, Ash did it exactly like that.
He did, but, you know, he changed her hand and all that stuff.
Okay, would it have been different if, like, let's say he's doing all this, he's saving people, and at the end, Jimmy Olsen runs up to him into his arms and they kiss and embrace?
Well, there was no Jimmy Olsen. No, it was in it though.
His sister?
Pete Ross, I think his name. I would say Pete Rose. His friend, Pete Ross.
From Smallville?
Yeah, but he's a white guy in the comic books and stuff. He's not a black dude. Who got arrested? Pete Ross actually got arrested. The guy that plays him in Smallville for something. I forgot what it was.
Jesus.
Did a little bit of jail time for it, but it's not. We're not talking about that.
Save me, Superman.
But yeah, so he was in it, and one of my biggest problems with it, we're going to go into spoiler territory right now, because I feel there's not that much in the movie to spoil, right?
Right.
There's only scenes and stuff to talk about. One of the flaws I found in it, because there's a lot of things like Lois and Superman falling in love that I was like, whatever. It doesn't bother me whatsoever that they didn't develop their relationship. I know they get together. There's a lot of like stuff going on, which I know is going to happen. So when it happens, I'm like, whatever. You know, I'm fine with it. I don't need it explained to me. But of course, like I said, not everybody knows Superman as well. But there's one thing that really actually bothered me about this movie. And that was Lois finds out who Superman is. Because at this time, Superman's traveling from different cities. He's doing different things. And he's saving different people secretly before he started to get his shit together and want to come out. And...
Oh, the closet with Jimmy?
Yeah. Jimmy is gay, right? He wanted to come in with incarnations.
I don't know.
I want to say All-Star Superman.
Was he?
I think so. An All-Star Superman. He wore a dress. That was something.
Yeah, but he wore a dress in 52. He also became a hero in 52.
We're talking nerd junk in front of Megan. She's like, she's giving us shifty eyes. Like, I don't know what's going on. Problem with this, Lois finds out there's a guy out there doing amazing things. And she starts tracking him down, like places he's went and where he came from. And then eventually leads her to the Kent farm. And she finds out it was Clark the whole time. I was thought to myself, this one fucking reporter could track him down and find a secret identity. Why can't anyone else?
Oh, no one else cares.
I guess not. No one else cares.
I mean, like, these days, who would find out? Anonymous? And that's about it?
Yeah, but then also she found out for Pete Ross that it was Clark. So he can't keep his fucking mouth shut, for one thing.
We'll fix that. Laser beam and lobotomy.
But that's one of the problems I had with it. I felt like his secret identity is kind of thrown around.
According to, like, some people that I've heard, they say that just everybody knows he's Clark.
Well, no. Well, he doesn't really become. He doesn't actually start up the whole Clark Kent bumbling idiot thing.
No, but to talk when he landed in Smallville, they named him Clark Kent.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's. I work at the Daily Planet, Clark Kent.
Yeah, he's not on working at the Daily Planet yet. Like after the events of the movie, he decides he needs to actually hide who he is and become a regular guy. But
yes, it's for the audience.
Yeah, but throughout the whole movie, yeah, he's just Clark Kent.
No, but like people online made it seem like everybody knew. No, like, not everybody was just calling him Clark all over the goddamn.
No, they called him Kal-El. The whole movie, he just referred to as Kal-El. Because you know he doesn't come up with the Superman thing. The press comes up with it, and he's like, "Well, whatever. They're gonna call me something anyway."
Yeah.
The S stands for hope, but you know people are gonna say whatever the fuck they want. Anywho, all right, fucking Zod shows up, and the whole movie goes crazy. There's a lot of fighting in the movie.
Well, he shows up right in the beginning, right?
Yeah, because for starts off, showing a little bit of Krypton. Well, it actually shows a lot of Krypton. It shows the...
What do you think of their idea of Krypton? Both of y'all?
It was awesome, because at first, a lot of people compare it to The Matrix. I can understand that, because The Matrix, they have little babies and bubbles and shit. But they're being used for batteries. Nothing productive, as they're doing with Krypton. But, is that a spoiler? Too big of a spoiler?
Right in the beginning of the movie, who cares?
Yeah, so at the beginning of the movie, you see Krypton, they kind of show that, like, they're not giving birth, so I guess they're just smashing just to have sex, because sex is fun.
Smashing?
It's
early 2000s, everybody.
Early 2000s. It's pre-swag.
The millennium just started.
We say, what are you doing? And kind of the Woodies and stuff, yeah. And...
Hootie-hoo is
still a thing, and like, which is horrible.
Yeah.
I can't even do it. That's how bad it is.
So anyways, go on.
Anyway, so you know, they're fucking on Krypton. It's just one big ass orgy if they want to get into it. No one's having babies or anything because
it's like that episode of Star Trek where everyone stays young and fucks all the time.
Yeah, basically. So there's a lot of fucking. And there's like
No, what are you talking about?
I'm just throwing out the
like ice. I said What movie? Like, there was no, like, sex in the movie.
There wasn't sex in the movie, but...
Is it, like, implied?
It's implied that no one's having natural births.
But I didn't get that from the movie. Sure they were, but I wasn't sitting there thinking, you know what, they're having a whole bunch of sex. That's not at all what
if you can't get pregnant for whatever reason, or technology, you can't get pregnant, wouldn't you be smashing?
But I don't think the director was trying to imply that.
I don't think the director's trying to imply that, but I'm just talking about this world that I'm submerged into by the beginning of the movie. I take it as
infer it, but that's not what was being implied.
They're totally fucking.
Whatever.
You see how Jor-El was touching his wife.
They're in love though.
They're in love. They're not fucking.
That wasn't the main part of it. Like, I don't know why.
Clark had to come from somewhere.
He was in a pod.
No, he was
in a pod. She was in a pod. No, she did give birth to him. Yeah, I remember. Clark gave, okay. She got,
or here's the thing about the movie. They let off straight ahead that off the bat that all Kryptonians are genetically engineered at the very beginning of the movie, where they're in these little pods underwater or whatever, and that's how they're created. That's how they're born. They're created for certain specific things to do, you know, like cook, chef, whatever. And of course, Zod is a warrior.
So Space Hitler has taken over, and eugenics and all that has taken effect.
Yeah. So basically, Zod is made to be a warrior. He's made to be a soldier. That's all he knows. That's all he knows how to do.
And he grew up next to a crying Kal-El, who drove him crazy. And that's why he came to Earth to destroy.
Actually, Zod is actually fully adult when the movie starts. He doesn't age not one bit.
I know, but that's Vegeta. That's
Dragon Ball, which I have also said that they could have actually made a real actual live-action Dragon Ball movie if they would have followed Man of Steel's logic of, you know, fuck it, there's not motherfuckers in the space. But, yeah, so they set up that Kal-El is the first Kryptonian natural birth in centuries, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's not programmed to be anything else, so he has free will to be wherever the hell he wants. And everyone else is programmed to be, so, you know, certain things. Zod, he has his thing going on. He's a warrior, and he wants to... He's not the way he was in other movies, or like in comics. He's like, you know, I just want to take over the world. He's more like, he wants to protect his people, but he's ruling with Iron Fist. It's all sorts of, like, you know, just not really just for power. He has good intentions, but he's going about it the wrong fucking way.
Well, you also remember, in their genetically engineering their people, they also are highly evolved, they say, because they don't have any morals.
Yeah.
So, exactly. So his role of being, like, military and stuff, like, that's all he knows how to do. Like, that's his job. And so he's going to do that regardless of what happens, whether Krypton exists or not.
That's all he knows.
Yeah.
They used to film me, man. They used to film me in the nude.
That's all I know, man. But, yeah, so...
So he's going to show up to the door with, like, a pizza? Like, he's a delivery boy? Here's your pizza. I'll rule your world.
Kneel before Zod. And he takes over. Opens the pizza. There's, like, sausage on it.
Yeah,
but it's not really sausage.
Pepperoni?
Yeah.
But, do you think this is the first of many Christ allegories? Where it was, like, an immaculate conception with Jesus.
And
this is their, like, well, you know what? Clark is special as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
There's a lot of that. There's one scene in which he flies. He kind of floats from a spaceship doing the, you know, Jesus Christ pose.
Mm-hmm. Arms out, held out like he's carrying a load.
Yeah, and then he flies to Earth all, like, you know, Superman-ish, because that's what he does. That's Superman. So, yeah, there's a lot of that little things to show.
Like, they also, like, when he was... working the various jobs around the world, I guess.
He did have a beard.
He did have a beard. And because you can't be gone. Jesus without a beard.
He was gone for 32 years.
He was 33 when they made a point of saying, for whatever reason, he's 33. I forgot who said how old he was, but it was like random. I was like, oh, so it's Jesus.
Yeah, they just get from like him being a baby to like now he's a grown man working at a fucking bar.
He was working on a ship where they were catching fish.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Ah. He's a fisherman.
Yeah. There you go. Mm-hmm.
Did he fix anything? So was he a carpenter? Because I'm trying to think if he fixed anything.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
He
destroyed a lot of shit.
Oh, he destroyed a lot of shit. He probably fixed everything after the credits.
Yeah.
Because Jesus. Because Superman. He destroyed a lot of stuff.
So from now on, we will refer to Jesus as Superman.
Yeah, Superman. Superman helped me.
Yeah.
Superman saves.
Superman Christ. Superman, damn it, I... Oh, man, I can't wait to be in bed with a chick and have her be like,
oh, Superman, Superman.
Okay. Good stuff.
Oh, yeah,
but
Christian.
No, I also heard... I also heard that, like, there's a scene in a church where they have, like, a Jesus in the background. And he's got, like, a red sash. I don't know.
I can't remember that. I'm not sure.
Like, oh, just like Superman?
I can't remember that. I don't want to confirm or deny that. I cannot remember that. If it was in a church at one point... Oh, he does go to a church at one point.
When he talked to the priest.
Yeah, he goes to a priest. He's like, they're looking for me. Because, like, Zod comes back like a pimp and says he's going to destroy the whole world unless they give him Kal-El. So, he does go to a priest. You know what? He doesn't even get help from the priest. He goes there and confesses that he's the person they're looking for.
And then the priest tried to touch him and he left.
Yeah, basically, that's what happened. Trying to funnel him.
He was creepy like, looking
is
priest.
Is that an S on your chest? What does it stand for?
And he, like, rubs his finger on the S. He outlines it with his finger. Is all of you super?
Clark's like, I need an adult.
He blows his super rape whistle.
Megan's like, oh my god, what did I get myself into? I should end the show right there.
We didn't talk about anything, though.
No, for real, though. Yeah, so I think the whole idea of it is they make a child through natural sex and stuff, you know, just fucking.
Natural sex?
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Opposed to artificial sex.
Artificial, that's basically what they're doing, artificial sex, I guess. I don't know.
It'd be like artificial insemination, probably.
I don't know, I have no idea how they're actually making the babies. They didn't go that far into it, but oh my god, Krypton looks amazing! I would love to spend the whole fucking movie on just simply Krypton and just end it with Superman being shot the fuck to Earth.
Do you think they might have like a Bottle City of Kandor situation? That they can go back to Krypton?
They probably could, because they did kind of work in the idea of like all of Kryptonian DNA is in... Well, this is a big spoiler, so I'm not going to mention that, but basically work out some stuff where...
Brainiac?
Well, no, but they work out some stuff where it could be a situation where they could deal with like Krypton in the future. If you're familiar with the comic books.
Reign of the Superman?
No, I'm not going to get into all any of that.
Oh, come on.
No spoilers. No super spoilers. Only spoilers you'll hear on the show are just stuff that you'll probably see and be like, okay, that's cool. No spoilers for the future.
I don't know. There's a few spoilers I want to talk about, though.
Like which one do you want to talk about?
Like, Pa Kent.
Oh, Pa Kent's storyline is pretty cool. What did
I don't mean his storyline. I mean the end of his storyline.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
oh,
but
that
was
really good.
Yeah, it was really good how they did that.
It sounds ridiculous.
That was the only moment I was just like,
yeah.
I was
Kevin Costner, he was like fucking Field of Dreams acting his ass off. Yeah.
Not even Robin Hood acting.
No, it wasn't even Waterworld acting. It was fucking Field of Dreams acting in this motherfucker. He put a lot into that role. And I'll get to that in a moment. Basically, the whole thing with the whole like artificial insemination.
Why are you really stuck on the artificial?
Yeah, you're really slow.
Come on, get to the idea. Like, I want to wrap this up. Want to get to the idea.
It was like barely like minutes of the movie.
No, I like it because what I took from it is the fact that they sent Superman to Earth to be wherever he can with no restrictions on what he has to be, and he became basically a god in a sort of way. He made his own choices there. His choices were good, and then he goes to a father. Who believes he could do good, but doesn't want to steer him in the wrong or right way. He's like, you know what? I know you can do good. The world's just not ready for you. But when you're ready, well, whatever kind of man you'll be, you'll change the world regardless. But I know you'll be a good man. And that's basically Pa Kent.
You think Pa was too overprotective?
Pa was extremely overprotective because he was afraid that they'll take him away.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that I don't understand.
Like,
they put
a lot into that. It's like it was a little bit more than what I'm used to. I mean, if you spent 10 years on Smallville, which explains why they probably... try to speed up the origins. I felt they had to do it simply just to get the movie out there to do bigger and better things. They didn't want to bust what movie was it? The Amazing Spider-Man. They didn't want to do that and tell you what you already know over again.
But
They did it differently,
but it was a lot of like, well, he gets his powers and this happens and that happens. I think they want to cut a little bit of that time away and get straight to the point, the meat and the potatoes, but they wanted to actually touch on it enough to build a foundation.
Well, that's the problem I have with the movie is that the way that it developed, how Kevin Costner was telling him, yeah, we found you have superpowers, and okay, there you go. Like, it was literally like so uneventful that I was like, it should have been more dramatic. I expected more pomp and circumstance, but it was just like, you are the father. That's kind of like how it was.
He did kind of.
So Maury Povich came out.
He could have stood there and said, "You are Superman," and then you know he would have been dancing, and then that was you know.
My favorite scene, just to talk about fathers and stuff, when he finally meets Jor-El, because it wasn't that much spent on him meeting Jor-El. Actually, it kind of felt like Jor-El was like, because Jor-El was actually shocked about how powerful he actually became. It felt like Jor-El was like, "Hey, this is who you are. You're my son. This is your people. I knew you'd be strong, but holy shit, you're really strong. Now get out there and do some good." And then it just flies off.
Like tussle of the hair.
Go, boy. That boy. Go get him.
Yeah, go play outside.
Yeah, go outside. Run on and play. So that's basically how I felt what happened. But yeah, the reason I brought that up like earlier, though, him having free will, because I felt like he had free will. He went to a family that shaped him to make the best decisions. And even so, even though he wanted to do good, because there's times he's put in situations where he has to save people, because it's the right thing to do. He can do something about it. And Pa Kent's like, "I know you're saving people because it's the right thing to do, but we don't want you to draw any attention." It comes down to the very end that Pa Kent's going to, spoiler, Pa Kent is going to die, and he stops Clark from saving him because Clark saving him would have exposed Clark.
All the like people online are like, "Well, why couldn't he just go in there real fast and take him away?"
Because everyone would have saw him. See, the thing is, Clark's on the side because everyone there's a tornado happening. Cars are being picked up. Amongst most of the cars in the movie being picked up and tossed around, they have natural disaster in this movie as well, where cars are being picked up and tossed. Pa Kent hurts his leg. He's trying to save a dog. I think it's their dog, right?
Mm-hmm. It's Crypto.
They call him something else. He's not Crypto. Fuck. Superman gets Crypto when he's older.
Yeah, but I don't know. It would have been cool.
It would have been cool, but you know. But anyway, not talking about the, you know, Superman pet continuity.
We're not talking about Comet, the super horse, Streaky, the super cat.
Yeah, all these super animals. Yeah, there was one cartoon. There was one cartoon in which that all the super pets all together to start their own super pet league.
Really? Yeah. They did that.
Yeah, it was like all these super pets. Yeah, I think Lex had a snake that was an evil villain or something. I forgot what it was. It was something like that. It was Crypto and his friends. But anyway, we're talking about something totally different. Yeah, he has a chance to you know zoom and save Pa Kent, but he doesn't because when he's about to do it, Pa puts his hand up because he knows he's going to do it and tells him no from far away. It's like a dramatic, like emotional scene because it shows you that, you know, yeah, it sucks that Superman didn't save him, but he listened to his father. And his father would rather die than have his son have to deal with the shitstorm of the media if word got out. And this is like 17-year-old Clark Kent.
Would you call it a shit tornado?
Tornado. Yeah, so it's like, you know.
Somebody made the joke that it's like he held up his hand to be like, "No, I want you to deal with this for the rest of your life."
It wasn't that, but yeah, he does deal with it. He's like, "I could have saved him," but he said no and shit. But he gets comfort from his mom when he's like 33 years old.
He crying in her arms and shit.
Now he comes back. He's all way taller than her and shit. She's super small compared to him. And they talk, and then she's like, "You know, I wonder if he saw me." This is after the movie, at the very end of the movie, after he's done all this destruction to the whole fucking city of Metropolis. He's like, "I wonder if he saw me. He's proud of me." And then she's like, "Yeah, he saw you. I know he saw you. He always wanted you to be this kind of man, you know, who destroys buildings and shit."
He always thought you'd go into construction.
But it was a real touching ending. Like, the parts of the movie that were touching. But when you actually go back to it, there's less of that as there are fights into outer space and tearing up buildings and fighting tentacle monsters and like, I don't know, they fight like Kryptonians, like the way you expect. Like the Fiora, I think is the name of the chick. Mm-hmm. She moves fast, constantly. Like, if you were fast like that, why wouldn't you fight super, super fast speed all the time? It's just ridiculous. I mean, it's sometimes it's kind of hard to keep up with because they're moving so fast and fighting. It does feel like a live-action Dragon Ball episode at times, with all the filler talk and charging up.
Did the action bore you at any point, both of y'all?
I was never bored, but I felt like at one point it's to the extreme, to the point like we didn't really need all this. Because after all the fighting and destroying buildings, they eventually bring in a machine that literally changes the gravity. So it kind of picks up stuff and then smashes it on the ground.
Somebody made the joke that's how Zack Snyder snuck in a slow-mo by doing that.
Yeah, because there's no slow-mo in it. And you know what? This movie would have benefited from some slow mo if I could see what the fuck's happening sometimes. Because there's so much happening. The one movie I thought he's going overly slow mo didn't. Oh. Not one fucking slow mo.
I wonder if he sped it up like, you think I move shit too slow? What about this?
No, not everyone's complaining he moves stuff too fast. But it was amazing. There's so many fight scenes. It was just like so much stuff is destroyed, man. It's just ridiculous amounts of stuff destroyed. And I felt like, well, I saw Superman Returns as a young adult, I guess, in 2006.
Mm-hmm. I saw it in prison. Did...
okay.
I did. That is not a joke.
as I saw Superman Returns as a young adult, it brought me back to my childhood of Christopher Reeve and all that. But for years before that, I've been waiting for a Superman movie with the new technology and what we could do with it. And I got Superman Returns instead. And why I loved it, because, you know, nostalgia. After that wore off, I was like, this is fucking boring. You know, Superman's basically me as a teenager, moping around, you know.
Paying child support and all that.
Yeah. Well, not me.
No, but that's what he was doing in the movie.
He didn't pay child support. Superman was a deadbeat dad. He's more like God in that movie.
It was... You're not my real dad, Joseph. Dad, can I come stay with you?
I'm going through a tough time with Mary.
Yeah. Tell your mama sent the check. But, no. Fucking Superman, because the way the movie takes place, he's already given Lois the forget-me-kiss.
Yeah, which I tried on a girl before and it didn't work.
So, like...
she remembered.
Like Kevin Smith said... Lois Lane should have walked up to Superman as soon as she realized her kid had powers and said, when did you rape me, Superman?
Yeah, because she has no recollection of them having sex.
Yeah, she's supposed to have forgotten all about that.
Yeah, but she was totally cool with it.
I don't, but when,
which is weird. Which is weird.
Also, when you think about the history of 1, 2, let's say even 3.
Yeah.
The lowest story we've gotten before isn't that great.
Yeah.
So, maybe they could have spent more time. Maybe, like, developed it more here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's fine to have them be, like, friends or kind of show, like, hey, they might feel something for each other.
Yeah.
And develop more in a later movie.
Yeah.
Because, let's face it, Warner Brothers wants to do a lot of these. They don't want just one and done it.
And it's bringing in a lot of bank, as I've seen. You can't even put it on the news without hearing about Superman. They'll stop, like, big things happening with the government to talk about Superman, Man of Steel. Because it's just making money. It is making money. That's a good thing. I really want to see more of these movies, but I wish the script to be more fleshed out next time. Because this is just showing us, like, hey, we got to give you enough Superman for you to know who he is, but we really just want to blow shit up. That's what we want to do.
I blame David Goyer for that.
Think so?
I heard a lot of the, like, lines in the movie are pretty awful.
No, the lines aren't awful. I don't think there's any lines delivered awful, but I do think that...
No, I don't mean delivered awful. As written on the page, are pretty awful.
I don't think so. But I do think that Lois Lane played more of a journalist in real life than actually Lois Lane, the character. She was boring as fuck. I felt like she was really boring. But you know what? We're not here to see her. We're here to see other shit happen, right?
Like product placement.
I felt like there was like, here's Sears. Now fuck Sears. And they blow it up.
No, because I was on...
IHOP. Now fuck IHOP.
Yeah, speaking of IHOP, I was on Twitter and someone's like, in the best supporting actor goes to the IHOP sign, because like really that IHOP sign showed up like multiple times in the movie, like the kid with the red hair, I don't remember his name, anyway, that was, the bully,
Pete Ross. No, that wasn't Pete Ross,
whoever the bully was, who was bullying Clark Kent, grows up to manage an IHOP. So you're like, oh, look at him, he manages IHOP, so look at the bully, right? But then like they go back and like the fight with the Krypton people or whatever all happened.
Kryptonians
were all at the IHOP, and there were some. They fought in the IHOP.
Yeah, that's totally racist.
What, the fighting at the IHOP?
No, Kryptonians.
Kryptonians.
The Krypton people.
Yeah.
That's best people.
Yeah.
All these crypto. Best people. Those Crips.
Yeah. No, slurs. Hobbling around on their canes and stuff.
But no. So they're fighting at the IHOP, which was kind of funny, because like if you go online and look on YouTube, like fighting at IHOP or Denny's, it's all like ratchetness. So with that kind of what it reminded me of.
Yeah.
So, and then with the Sears and stuff, it was kind of like so obvious that it was annoying.
My favorite scene is like with the IHOP part of it is the fact they're just eating breakfast or whatever the fuck. fucking guys just crash in. And then Pete Ross is there, because for some reason, he just pick up dropped the movie randomly. Mm. And he sees him, he's like, Clark? And then, like, fucking Clark looks at him and just flies off, and then they're fighting some more. Like, it never happened. It was just a lot of...
You could probably get Superman pancakes at IHOP.
You probably can.
Mm-hmm. That'd be pretty sweet. Let's get out of here, guys.
Let's go to IHOP. I have this craving for IHOP. Denny's I wonder why.
Denny's had the Hobbit meal, which is pretty good.
Yeah. It was tasty.
It was fucking tasty.
I didn't have it.
I should have.
I had the Hobbit Feast. At Alamo Draft House.
I remember back when Superman Returns came out, they sold those Superman Returns energy drinks that tasted like shit, but I kept buying them because I'm a Superman fan.
And you had it like all the way up until like maybe a month ago when it exploded.
Yeah, it exploded just in time for Man of Steel. Just to get all the memories out of my head.
That's funny. It knew.
Yeah, I'm not going to go scene for scene for this. It's just too much stuff happening. But basically, the whole gist for the movie, you know, a man's given free will to be wherever he wants to be. He becomes basically a hero, a beacon of hope. Zod wants to destroy shit and like basically recreate Krypton.
So you're saying a man chooses, a slave obeys?
Yeah, basically. That's what it comes down to, basically, yeah. Zod does what he's programmed to do. And, you know, Superman.
That was profound.
Yeah, makes his choices. And in between their conflict, they fight a lot. And then we see Jor-El do some cool shit.
Yeah.
At the very beginning of the movie, we see Russell Crowe be cool-ass Russell Crowe.
Do you feel like they put that there to also, like, emphasize Superman's, like, I'm a good guy and I'm not gonna, like, let bullshit happen? Because people online are really going, like, whoa, why Jor-El? We gotta let Jor-El be a fucking action hero and shit.
Well, Jor-El was just doing cool shit, but then, like, he fucking died. He didn't die because of the planet exploded, which he was going to die anyway, but, you know, Michael Zod Shannon killed him. Yeah, as we call him, Zod.
Oh.
Michael Zod Shannon, as we call him.
I wish I could remember his name from Boardwalk Empire. I'd call him that.
Yeah.
He was so surprising because when they showed Zod, I was kept thinking, that looks like Michael Shannon, but a much more cut Michael Shannon. Like, what is up with that? And then I realized it was Michael Shannon. I was like, damn. Like, I'm so used to him being, like, some really sad person on like, all these TV shows and stuff with his eyes. It's like he's seen some things in the past, and now he's, like, this crazy, scary guy.
I see some things, man.
His eyes look like that when you look at him. It looks like he's been through some things, and now he's, like, kicking.
I would recommend it. And Zod has to look, too, like he sees some things. Because he has, you know, he got... scarred on his face by Jor-El.
His whole planet exploded.
He was in the Phantom Zone for like 6 minutes. And then he was like, oh, we're free now. Oh, no, there's no Krypton to go back to. Fuck! So, yeah. Because like when the Krypton, I thought it was kind of cool, but Krypton exploded. The technology exploded, of course, so it freed them from the Phantom Zone.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
And they kind of like wandered around in this like lost ship with no power until they found like a colony. Because they were actually exploring space.
Mm-hmm.
To like help different colonies. So Jor-El wanted to leave Krypton anyway. He felt they should explore and find other places to habitat just in case they have to. Mm-hmm. No, everyone called him fucking crazy. And then, you know, the world paid for in the end. But there were places where they had ships and stuff, like Kryptonian technology. They were able to build a new ship. Eventually take that to Earth and build new technology and take that to Earth. Because this is like 33 years later.
I guess you can forgive 33 years of work.
Yeah.
It's not like it happened overnight.
So the whole idea of it makes his own choice. And, you know, there's so much action in it. I cannot stress enough how much action in it is. It feels like, if you really analyze it, it feels like it's 30 minutes, 40 minutes of, like, story. Then the rest of the movie is just action.
You realize the movie's, like, 2.5 hours long, right?
Yes.
Does it feel like it's 2.5 hours long when you watch it?
Mm-hmm.
Both of y'all?
After a while, it does, because it's like, how much shit can he blow up? How much stuff can they destroy?
Yeah.
And then after, like, destroying so much stuff and blowing up so much stuff, they build in a machine, they bring a machine in with the sole purpose of destroying shit. And then, after sitting through that for a while, Superman, after fighting, like, a tentacle monster, which y'all know how that ends mostly in anime movies.
Mm-hmm. But somebody comes and they all go to sleep.
But Superman's like, not me, no. So, he destroys the machine to destroy shit. Which lands and destroys shit. And then he fights, like, the other Kryptonians, takes them out, and then eventually fights Zod. By the time he finally fights Zod, so much shit has been destroyed. Mm-hmm. You think they're not even going to fight. Like, have they done enough?
I was tired at that point. I was hoping they'd hurry up and, like, Superman would win.
I would have been perfectly fine if Superman would have fought him and beat him, like, fucking Iron Man 2 style. Like, real fast.
Really? But,
yeah, I would have been fine because the Fiora and the other dude was fighting.
None.
Yeah, they fought for so long that you would thought that was they were, like, the end fight.
That should have been the main fight. It was so long. And it involved his mother and all sorts of people. And
yeah, because she went and choked his mom. Did she throw her, like, really far?
She did it on the ground. Like,
and then she threw something to his house. Like, fuck your house you grew up in.
Oh, and then the mother came and was, like, cleaning up the house. And stuff like, oh, well, let me just straighten up everything now.
Yeah, there's
a big hole in the roof.
It's a big hole. It's like a truck
or
something.
It's okay. I got the pictures. It's okay.
Yeah, she went back for the pictures. It's like a truck or something in the roof. And she's just sweeping around and cleaning up around.
Yeah, but that happens. You remember when Katrina happened and there you see dudes walking around at, like, waist-high level water with, like, an umbrella?
Yeah.
Like, that's going to help them.
Yeah.
But I'm like, Jesus, so much stuff happened. So by the time he finally fights Zod, I figured if it was going to be a real small fight, it would have ended, it would have been fine. Because I just watch him fight for, like, forever with everyone else. And, you know, all sorts of machines and stuff. But, no, Zack Snyder doesn't want to half-ass it. So it gives you a super long fight with Zod. Which they destroy more buildings. They fight upside the buildings.
The funny part I want to mention where they were fighting at, like, the construction site.
You go ahead and mention it. It's funny.
Oh, thank you. Anyway, they have a sign that says, like, 1,006 days without an accident. And so, at this point, when we see the sign, I guess Zod throws Superman against the wall.
Yeah.
And that number changes to, like, 0 days without an accident.
That was pretty funny.
Is there any other funny parts? Because I've heard people complain, like, this isn't funny. It's all serious.
It was one scene where someone says, like, a chick says that, Superman's kind of hot.
That was so unnecessary, because he's okay. But
you don't think Superman's hot?
No, I really, I was just like,
He's like all shirtless.
Generic good-looking guy. It's like,
generic,
that's
generic
boring sometimes.
All-American pie guy.
Is it? I don't think that's that boring.
It was because it felt so silly. Like, because she's like a commander in the military. Like, she's supposed to have worked really hard to get her level in the army or whatever, and she's with, like, her general guy that's there. And he's, you know, sends Superman off or whatever Superman does. And she's with her boss. It's like if you were with your boss and you're like, oh, well, that guy's really cute. You wouldn't say that unless you're like, you wouldn't. It was just, that wouldn't happen in real life.
Well, to set the scene up for you, Julian, because you haven't seen the movie yet?
No, I'm already aware of it.
Yeah. Talk about just to set up what happens right before that. As they're driving.
Why don't you set it up for the audience?
Well, to set it up for the audience, as, like, she's driving with a commander, Superman throws a fucking satellite from outer space in front of them. So, and then lands all menacing with his hands, like, folded. And he was like, you gotta find where. What was his words? You try to find where I hang my cape. Don't.
Oh.
That was awesome. I mean, I think for a girl's point of view,
I've got, like,
if a dude could throw a satellite from space, maybe you might get a little moist about it. Uh-huh. Just saying.
Slide out of your seat.
Yeah.
Leave snail trails all over the place.
You might have close anti-government spying. That's so sexy.
Well, I mean, not the government spying, but throwing satellites. Imagine what Superman could do in the bedroom. Oh, my God.
You are really hung up on the Kryptonians doing it. I have to say, it all comes back, doesn't it?
No, on Krypton, it would just be like missionary style, I guess, because they don't have time to experiment.
But they all experiment. Isn't it all like advanced thing?
They're advanced, they are. That's why they have no morals.
They probably would have found, like, devices and stuff to help them out with their sexual pleasure stuff.
All right, I've got, like, six questions for y'all, and then I guess we can finish. One being, can I please smoke this cigarette? It is
fine.
Go ahead, smoke a cigarette, light up.
I'm trying not to, and I'm fucking chewing up my nails. But one is, does Superman do anything like Superman? Like, you remember, like, in the original Superman, where Zod tries to, like, pick up that bus and throw it, and he's like, "Oh no, the people and shit," and he's like, "This is how I get to you, through the people."
Yeah.
And you get that feeling that, like, oh, Superman really is the best of us.
Yeah, it kind of happens. Like, stuff gets thrown, and then Superman catches it, and they realize, like, why do you care about these weak-ass people?
Well, I don't mean that specifically. I mean the idea that, like, Superman is, like, everything that's good, that can be good about humanity.
Yeah, they do kind of stress that, but not too much. They kind of just show that in the middle of battle, even though shit's getting destroyed, he'll save, you know, buildings, fuck buildings, but people on the streets, he'll save them.
Like, it doesn't have to be in battle and fighting. I just mean in general.
In general?
Well,
He doesn't really get a chance to really be Superman in this movie because he's like, he learns how to fly and then shit happens and now he's stuck dealing with Zod. So, like, immediately after he learns to get shit down, Zod attacks. He has to deal with Zod. So he doesn't. I don't think I ever saw him. I never thought I saw him save anybody. Did you?
The only what
pre Zod.
Yeah, when Zod like took over the airwaves and the satellites and everything, it is like you either you turn yourself in or to me, or I'm going to destroy everything. And so that's when he was talking to the priest of whether or not he was going to turn himself in,
yeah,
or have them destroy Earth and everybody else.
Yeah, there was one point, like same thing she just brought up. There's one point in which when he does turn himself in, he turns himself into the military. And he lets them put him in handcuffs, as you know, from pictures and stuff. And then he gets interviewed by Lois. And she's like, you're turning yourself into Zod? He's like, not Zod. I'm turning myself into the people. He's letting them know that he's not turning himself into Zod, but he's handing himself over to the government, to the people, to let them know that, hey, I'm on your side.
So you never have that moment where you, like, tear up because of something Superman did?
No.
I mean, he saved the kids in the bus. And he saved his bully. But it wasn't like explicit where like you felt like he was the savior of people.
It was nothing like that. Yeah. You didn't get a feeling of that, because there's little things sprinkled throughout that he did when he was a kid. And then you show him turn himself in for the people, because I think it's kind of like the noble thing to do and the right thing to do. And he kind of asks questions. And then eventually gets tired of like them watching him through like a fucking one sided mirror. He just breaks the handcuffs and tells them like, look, I can see you over there. I know you're there. You know, and he just kind of addresses them.
It was more of an internal struggle within Superman, but it really wasn't fleshed out, and maybe that would have made a better movie had it been fleshed out.
I feel like a lot of stuff they could have done didn't have time to, because they felt the need to throw in a lot of action. I think it was a lot of, like, we're sorry for Superman Returns. We're getting it right this time. And as I said, as a kid, I loved Christopher Reeve. As a young adult, I liked seeing Superman Returns, because it, you know, brought me back to that, but it wasn't the Superman I wanted in this time. And as an adult, Man of Steel is the Superman I like.
It's not the Superman you want, but the Superman you need.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's profound as well.
It's for Batman.
Yeah, it's for Batman.
Well, then Batman is profound.
But,
I wouldn't say so. Bane.
The bane of my existence. So, another thing. Do we get either a callback to some of the old Supermans, like Care to Step Outside, General?
No,
I think or a cool moment where, if you remember Justice League Unlimited, where he finally fights Darkseid.
Yeah.
And he's like, this whole time, I live in a world made of cardboard. And, you know, but you can take it, can't you?
There's none of that, unfortunately. There's none of that. Like,
there's no, like, you know, not trying to show him as the savior of the world, but, like, show how badass Superman can be.
No, there's none of that. It's like, straight to badass is all it is. Like, there's no call back to the original. I think they want to get it as far away from the original as possible. There's a lot of lens flare in the movie as well, but it's not like J.J. Abrams' lens flare.
Where they lens flare over somebody's face while they're giving a fucking
speech. It's none of that. The lens flare seems to be coming from actual light. And it doesn't happen too often, but it's filmed very handheld camera-like, and it looks more realistic for some reason, the way it looks. I like the way it looks. And I would love to see a Justice League film that way, but it's a totally different story. But it has more of a realistic feel to it, but they don't, and they try so hard to be away from, you know, what they've done with Superman before, that they don't have those callbacks to the original series or like stuff you would think. And they don't do the whole, like, he's handling the world with kid gloves and now you're finally cut loose with Zod, because I guess he already knows Zod could take it, so he just goes there and punch him in the face. So it's like, you know, it's not, I would have liked that, but they didn't have time to develop Superman to be a hero. It was more of like he's debating whether he should come out as he exists on this earth and out himself, and he's struggling with that inner struggle when Zod happens, and he's like, well, shit, I gotta deal with this. Mm-hmm. Basically what the whole movie is.
So I guess the Zod thing leads me to the next two questions. Uh-huh. One, when Superman finally does kind of fight Zod, do you think that Superman just like losing it, like he hasn't been Superman before? Not really. Do you think he's just like, you know, I don't know what to do, I'm so pissed, like, I don't know what to do with these feelings and these powers all at once? And that's why he kind of has this, like, you know, whatever, I don't care, I'm just trying to beat the shit out of you attitude, like, flying through buildings and stuff?
Well, I feel like he kind of has the stuff down more, because they have, like, the way they set up this world, Superman grew up on Earth. He's used to their environment. That shit put him on a Kryptonian ship, and he kind of, like, gets sick and stuff because he's not used to the Kryptonian environment.
Well, I'm not talking about the, what do you call it? I'm not talking about his powers at all.
No, I'm talking about the way he is.
That he's super pissed that he can finally just, like, the reason he doesn't pare down his like, okay, in the comics when Superman fights,
yeah,
and he fights somebody like Bizarro,
yeah,
he gets Bizarro to like go to Africa with him, so there's like just planes and shit. Do you think because Superman was mad, that's why he was just like, fuck it, in the middle of Metropolis, I don't care?
Nah, I don't feel that way. I feel like he grew up on Earth and he had a chance to hone his powers, get his stuff together. Like I said, when he went to like Kryptonian planet, it was kind of different for him. The reason I brought that up because when Zod and, you know, the rest of the Kryptonians come to Earth, they have to adjust to the environment. They get sick too. They start developing powers they're not to use. I think it's the fact that they're reckless and he just has to stop them at that moment. And he's more controlled than them. But they're better warriors because of the fact that they're soldiers and shit. He's just regular dude.
Well, I wasn't bringing up powers at all.
No, you know, there wasn't any deep thought about things. It was just action. It wasn't like...
There was no deep thought. It was just at that moment, these people are well... They're highly trained soldiers who now have superpowers. I gotta stop them here at this moment. I have no time to try to save innocent people or make this safe for everyone.
Superman isn't very deep in this movie.
He's not. He's just not. Punch, kick.
He
actually
kicks?
Every once in a while. It's just a lot of throws and... Stumps
knees?
And kicks.
Like, I would expect a lot of knees.
There's a kick on the ground. I think he slides. There's a lot of stuff like that happening.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, when he's on the ground, just punk the fuck out of him.
That's funny.
There's a lot of stuff happening.
He Randy Orton's the shit out of him.
There's a lot of like that happening. I mean, I feel like it's not really deep thought. I know what you mean. Like I gotta protect these people that's moving away. Like, I think even in the Christopher Reeve movies, he did that, right?
Yeah.
He moves them away where they can fight safe. No, it's not that in this movie.
No, people got injured. People got killed.
I'm pretty sure.
When they were in a small town.
All sorts of people got killed.
Yeah, when they were in Metropolis and everything. Yeah, a lot of people in theory would have gotten killed because they weren't saved at all.
Yeah, and then like Ophira was just snapping necks and shit because she didn't care.
Yeah.
And beating up the military. And then also this little hint at the very end of the movie that the military wants to control Superman.
How the hell are they gonna, like, I don't even know where you would begin to try to do that.
Yeah, but that was the whole thing with them trying to watch him eat those Asale down to the ground. To let them know that he's not gonna fucking work for the military, U.S. military, but you know they kind of do want to use him and probably make him into a weapon. Which could be explored way later on down the line. They didn't put too much into it, but they set up for the future, where it could go.
So, I guess my next question would be, you already mentioned they brought him onto the ship and Kryptonian shit's all around.
Yeah.
Do you think that's their nod to Kryptonite?
Yeah, I think he hasn't discovered Kryptonite yet. He won't discover it till later, but I think that's the way of setting up like why his home planet would hurt him so much. Because he's not used to it. And, you know, different environment, different sign, all this stuff. We know that from the comic books, but I think it's their way of expressing it for everyone else, explaining for everyone else who doesn't know that. So in the future, when they actually do use Kryptonite, probably in the sequel, it'll make more sense.
Like red Kryptonite, blue Kryptonite, and all that.
Yeah, I don't know if they can get into the colors or not, but...
I sure
hope. I kind of want to do.
I mean, maybe later on, but like...
But not immediately the second one.
So, I guess... I don't want to say my final question, because I'm sure I'll think of other stuff. But, what do you think of Zack Snyder?
As a director?
As the director of this. Because going into it, almost everyone was like, fuck Zack Snyder. He's awful. He's never made a good movie.
Well, I like Zack Snyder already. I've never seen Sucker Punch. It was the movie everyone hated. So I never seen it. I seen some of the visual effects of it and some of the scenes of it, but I never seen the entire movie. Love 300. I overplayed 300. I don't watch it that much anymore because everyone's seen it. To this very day, I still love Watchmen, but I wouldn't sit through it anymore. It would be a good reason for me to sit through Watchmen. But Watchmen proved to me he can make a good comic book movie and cater to different audiences. Now, I didn't like the action in Watchmen, like certain like fight scenes that happened, because it wasn't that brutal in the Watchmen comic book, but I felt he was catering to a different audience. So, I felt he needed to soup up Watchmen for everyone else. But as a storyteller, and keep everything exact, and just his way of cinematography is amazing. So, he brought a lot of that into Man of Steel. I think the cinematography was amazing in Man of Steel. And I think he just did a really good job, just knocked out of the parks. I just think if he would have had a better script, it would have been a far better movie. But I think the script wasn't bad. It was just a launching point for Man of Steel, for them to make more movies. Plus, they needed to rest something out for them to keep the rights to Superman, because they were going to lose the rights to Superman. So I think...
They lost the rights to the Superboy.
Yeah. So as a way to like rush out a film to keep the rights, it's an awesome-ass fucking film.
Megan, what did you think of the movie? I mean, the filmmaking, I guess, aspect of the movie.
Well, I'm not familiar with Zack Snyder's work, so I have nothing to compare it to, but...
Watchmen. You seen Watchmen.
I didn't like Watchmen.
Brand new show. That's all I'm talking about today's show.
Anyway, and that's another review. But, I mean, I liked it, I guess... I liked the movie. I felt that, like, the scene... What I walked away with, the whole love story with Lois Lane and Superman... I felt that it could have developed in a way, like, I guess because he's a guy and so he's not looking at it like I'm looking at it. I'm thinking it would have been much more better and more realistic if at the end, instead of the kiss that they had just because you felt you have to put a kiss in the movie, yeah. If he just like touched her cheek or something really like romantic and soft and like made it leave something hanging for the audience, I felt that would have been...
So low-hanging fruit for the audience?
No, it wouldn't have been low-hanging. What are you talking about? No. The kiss would have been low-hanging because it would have been easy for them to get, but, like, having something... What?
It's a joke.
Well, I didn't get your joke. Anyway, I liked the movie. There was parts I felt that a different director would have... Maybe someone who was more... Who was less action-oriented and maybe more story...
Yeah.
Would have done a little bit better. So, like, that was one thing I thought could have been done better. Yeah. It was okay.
So now with Nolan being involved in all this, and everybody going Nolan crazy, like, this is the reason I'm watching it, because of Christopher Nolan?
Yeah.
Would you say that the problems you do have with the movie are because of David Goyer's script?
Yeah. I think it's David Goyer's script. No, I think the only thing Nolan feels really responsible for, to be honest, the only thing I felt Nolan's presence with was the soundtrack, because he actually got someone he worked with countless times for the soundtrack.
There's a lot of wow.
No, it's better than that. That's what usually happens.
Yeah.
But it's a lot better than that. And then I also think the whole opening title, and then Man of Steel at the very end of it, feels very Chris Nolan.
A lot of people do that, though, to be fair.
Yeah, but the way it's set up, it reminds me of Chris Nolan's Batman or something. And it could just done it as a nod to him. It could just done it because that's the way they wanted to do it. There's plenty of reasons why they could have done it. Maybe Zack Snyder did it himself. You know? Maybe he's involved with it, but that's the only thing that reminds me of Nolan. I felt like he was not really involved with this movie. Not in the way he looks, at least.
Well, like I said, Megan, do you think the only problems with the movie are script-related?
Yeah, because there were, you know, some of the lines that were kind of, like, not really creative and just kind of really simple, and a better writer would have made it sound a little bit more less... simple. I can't think of anything specific, but there were some lines of Superman where it was just like, really, that's all you have to say? But, yeah. I guess for a movie, I mean, the biggest part of it is the story, would be the plot and the writing, and so yeah, but it's very limited, I think, of what they had to work with, because it is Superman, and there's all these expectations, and he has to do certain things, so I guess there's certain parameters that they didn't want to break out of, or didn't even think to break out of when they were making this, because probably there'd be a lot of criticism if they, you know, decided to take it in a different route. So, yeah.
It almost seems like they've taken it in a different route already. Like, when you hear people talk about it online, it's Superman doesn't do this, and Superman wouldn't do that.
It felt very much like stuff Superman would do in the comic books, or, like, in, like, animated movies and stuff like that. That's how it felt like. I felt like I was watching a live-action animated movie, Superman. Like, you know, Superman we've seen in movies already.
I was just thinking, my favorite parts in the movie is when, like, it's not when he's Superman, but when he's, like, Clark Kent working on a ship, or, like, during regular stuff where he's just, like, a normal dude, like, working at a restaurant or whatever.
Yeah.
And I like that Superman because there was still the struggle, like, yes, I can do these really crazy, amazing things, but I don't know what to do with all that.
Yeah.
And that's the part of the movie I liked, I guess, because, I don't know, it just felt more realistic. I felt like that's a character I understood his struggle. But,
a superhero.
Understood his stroke. Yeah. Superpower. Now I understood, like, this, when he put on the suit and stuff, it was like, okay, now here's the show. Now this is a performance. Yeah. Versus the other thing being, for me, feeling more realistic. Like, so.
I felt like it was a lot of, I can't be myself, but I can do all these amazing things. I have to hide myself back. I gotta get bullied in school because I could hit this guy into space if I wanted to. But my dad's looking on, so I can't. And, I gotta let this guy grab my girlfriend's ass, which happens because he's at a bar. He's dating Lana for a brief moment.
Oh, they bring up Lana?
Yeah, they have her. Like, he meets her like middle school, I think, or something. And or like he's young when he meets her. They kind of fast forward to like they're dating and he works at a bar. A guy grabs her ass and then he tells the guy to calm down. They can't do anything to him. And then the guy throws his beer in his face. Just complete asshole to Clark. And Clark takes it, walks away. And when the guy finally goes outside, his fucking semi truck is just...
It was awesome. It's just it was fucked. So twisted and up in the air and on his pole. It was freaking awesome. I like that one. That was good.
And it's like, you know, you could tell he could do all these things, but he can't do it. So what I took out of it is like, he's always told, no, don't do this. Don't do that. They'll take you away from us. You know, he watched his dad die because he could have done something, but his dad didn't want him to. So I think when he puts on the suit and just walks out, he can finally be himself. And he doesn't get it right completely. He jumps up in the air pretty high because, you know, he's able to leap tall buildings and single bound. Mm-hmm. He does that a few times. And then he finally takes off and flies. And he's like, yeah, I can fucking fly. He's smiling and shit. There's no Christopher Reeve raving the camera or anything like that.
Yeah, wink.
No, he just flies. He immediately goes to outer space, doesn't he?
Yeah, it felt like Icarus when he was flying toward the sun and his wings were going to melt.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that's not... Anyway, it felt like that.
Yeah.
Like, when he was flying and then he like got stuck or the air or the something. He wasn't prepared to go that high.
And then he finally went high and just left the atmosphere and did like a little fly past the camera and fly back to Earth.
Couldn't breathe though. Like something he was struggling to like...
Yeah, well, he was struggling because he didn't know how to fly. He
had
to
figure shit out.
And, yeah, it's... I took it as he couldn't be himself the whole movie. And then when he puts on a suit, he finally learns who he is. He finally knows who he is. It's a lot of who am I, where I came from, why am I here? Pa Kent's telling him they don't know why he was sitting here, but it was probably for a reason. It's up to him to find that reason, even if it takes the rest of his life.
Would you say Pa Kent was kind of proven right, that they will fucking take you away when they find out who you are?
Yeah, because that's the first thing they did. They put him in handcuffs, they questioned him, and all sorts of shit. Not trying to, you know, at the end of it, they show they're trying to control him. But I took it as that. Now with the suit, he can finally be himself. He goes by his Kryptonian name. He doesn't use Superman.
Yeah,
Kal. Yeah, Kal-El, or just Kal, because L is his last name.
Yeah.
And,
his middle name is Dash.
Yeah. His middle name, Ramon.
Yeah.
Kal Ramon L.
I landed in Mexico first, I'll be honest.
I was imported to,
Yeah.
I'm an illegal alien in plenty of ways.
They snuck me in a freak truck. They thought I was a big, like, fucking...
Like, first it snuck me on the Earth, and then I crossed the border. Alright. Is that your question, sir?
I guess I have one we can go out on it.
Yeah.
Not as a critic, I guess. As somebody who's a Superman fan, who owns Superman things and Superman tattoos.
Yeah.
Like, would you buy this movie? And what did you feel about the movie as a big fan? And Megan, as somebody who's not a big fan of Superman... The way Jim is. How did you think? What did you think of, I guess, maybe your first or most recent impressions of Superman?
Well, for me, I loved the movie. It was an awesome movie. It's the movie I wanted back when Superman Returns came out. As an adult, it took me back to not only being a child, but it took me into, like, this is why, you know, I don't read comic books with superheroes in it anymore. Now I'm an adult. I like more adult stuff, but I do read comic books, certain comic books, certain superheroes that I grew up with. And it was enough for me to really relate to as an adult, but it was enough for me to see, like, man, this is Superman. I fucking love him. But, yeah, it brought me back to my childhood. I'm totally buying on Blu-ray.
Megan, your thoughts?
I wouldn't buy it. Once was enough for me, but I felt it was a good movie. It was entertaining. But I like there really like, maybe because there really wasn't a lot of deep thought or deep messages in it, so I didn't walk away changed in any way. I didn't walk away different. To me, it was just a really like high budgeted action packed movie that I saw that it was entertaining, and then on to the next one.
Yeah.
So you got no feeling about Superman
no.
coming out of it?
Unfortunately, yeah. No.
I just wanted Superman to punch a bunch of shit. I guess what I got for this movie. I'm happy with that. It's like it's like wanting to see the Hulk destroy shit, but no, you got like thoughts and stuff, and you get the Hulk instead of like the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, fuck that.
And you didn't want that. You never asked for this. You're like fucking
the guy from Deus Ex.
Yeah, I never asked for this, and I'm jissing.
Yeah, that's his name.
Yeah, it's like that, you know. And I totally asked for Superman punching shit. I just got a little bit too much of it. It's like ordering. A delicious steak, And they're like, oh, here's your steak. But here's all this other shit, too, you might like. You're like, oh, this is so awesome.
This here's is a side salad. Here's corn on the cob.
This is like a big buffet that I can never finish because it's too much stuff. That's what happened. I mean, I was fine with them fighting on Earth. I didn't think they'll fight across the world and all in space and shit. But it doesn't hurt anything.
Is it like when I was a kid and I was like, please, God, make a Transformers movie?
Yeah,
then you got and then I got a little older, and he was like, "You never said you wanted it directed by Michael Bay."
I help those who help themselves. That's all time for today's show. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Please rate and review us. Check us out on iTunes. Check out our blog at jimsmoviesandjunk.blogspot.com. I'm the notorious JIM.
And I'm Julian.
And Megan.
And I bid you a good day.
Step outside, General.